Am I on? Morning. How's everybody doing? Guys, hi, I'm Scoop Stewart. My parents named me Adam, but everyone calls me Scoop. I know some of you guys in this room, I think. Some of you? Yeah, hey, Connor, how you doing? Hey, how's it going? Guys, I work for K-Life Ministries. Dave and I have been buddies for years, and he keeps asking me to come back and speak to you guys. I always think it's some kind of trap. Like that every time I come, that it's like, okay, last time I said something dumb. And so, I don't know, there'll be some kind of ninjas or something waiting. So if I seem a little pensive or anxious, it's probably because I'm afraid that I'm about to be jumped or attacked by some sort of band of ninjas, apparently. Guys,
it'll just be people coming up with plastic things trying to kiss you all over.
I'm not comfortable
through
with that. Guys, I feel like I need to confess something to you. I love wireless things. I love them. At K-Life, we have a wireless guitar plug, and I thought it would be real sweet one week to just kind of peruse my way through the crowd, playing my guitar, you know, a little, hey, how you doing, kind of lounge singer-ish, you know, like, hey, how's it going? Hey, where are you from? All right, great. And just kind of walk through the crowd, you know. If that ever happens to you, and if you ever have a wireless guitar plug and you decide to go lounge singer through a room full of people, make sure that room isn't full of beanbags. Just, okay, because I walked through the room and I was tripping and falling, and it was awkward and it was fun and everyone loved it and blah, blah, blah. But my point with that, guys, is I feel like I need to confess that the only reason I'm here is because I get to use the flesh-colored microphone. I love it. I know you're going, what microphone? Exactly, it's flesh-colored. It's the same color as my face, so you can't even see it. All right, that's stupid. Anyway, I want to get this out of the way now. Some of you guys were here a year ago. You maybe saw me speak. You're blessed in that way. What I want you to do, if you were here, if you weren't here, don't worry about this. But if you were here last year, I want you to turn to your neighbor and whisper to them, hey, that's the guy that ripped his pants last year. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Get it out, because you were going to do it while I was talking, and it was going to be distracting to everybody. Yeah, I did. That was good fun. We all had a good time with that. I saved the jeans for a long time. Like, they were like this trophy that I was going to keep around, and I don't know, I didn't do anything with them. I threw them away. Anyway, pretty good story about the jeans, huh? All right. If I could, I would like to attack a couple of questions. Attack? Answer? Like, what am I going to do to them? A couple of questions, man, that honestly, and I mean this, if you guys were able to answer these questions and really apply these pieces of truth to your life, it would change drastically the way you view the world around you. It would change drastically the way you view yourself. Y'all, I want to look at a couple of questions this morning that I guarantee you folks your parents' age are still asking and still don't know the answer to. And because they don't, and for some of you guys, because you don't yet, you're grasping for identity. You're grasping for something that defines you. You're yearning to be approved of. You're yearning to have somebody tell you why you are valuable. And y'all, the reality is each one of us in our heart of hearts is asking that question. I guarantee you the leaders in this room are at times will wrestle with that question. Y'all, a lot of the time when I spend my times with the Lord and dig in his word and spend some time in prayer, it's me wrestling with this question on a daily basis of going, who am I today? Am I who God says that I am? Do I believe that? It's true, and whether I believe it or not doesn't mean that it's not true. It's true. But me wrestling with that and going, yeah, am I really valuable today? Am I really valuable? And y'all, that is a question that is at the heart of each one of us. And so my challenge, listen for the next couple of minutes. I don't think I'm going to talk that long. I probably will. I'm going to try not to talk that long. But I want to hit this question, y'all, because if you will get this, you can walk out this door confident in who you are. And I realize I just said that to a room full of middle school folks. Y'all, when I was your age, I was so insecure. So insecure. All I wanted was to be accepted by the popular group. That's all I wanted. I didn't care what I had to do to get that. I didn't care what, you know, what I had no integrity. I had no standards. I said, man, if this activity, if this individual, if this sport will allow me to be popular, then I'll, man, sign me up. And it didn't matter if that meant to go out and hit the parties and go drink a little bit. Man, I was all over it because I'd be popular, right? And man, I yearned to be valuable, but I didn't understand that God had already put in me something that could only be met by himself. And so all this stuff that I was searching for in the form of popularity, in the form of parties and girls and whatever else that I thought would fill that void, y'all, God had already told me who I am. God had already told me what made me valuable, but I hadn't looked at it yet. I hadn't seen it yet. And man, by the end of this morning, I hope that you walk out and then you will have now heard. Man, what makes me valuable? What makes you valuable? And if you think, if you're honest with yourself, every one of you, ask that question. Some of you guys, I just want to run through a couple pictures here. Some of you guys think that your value will come from being cool guy, okay? This is my picture of cool guy, okay? You're gonna have to, okay? Man, shades. He's like, psh, what up, dude? And that's kind of, I mean, yeah, some of you guys think you're studious guy, okay? Maybe you think that what defines you, what gives you value is the grades that you get, right? How smart you are. And you go and you talk to people and then, you know, they're talking about some academic time. You're like, well, let me tell you, I am the king of all academics. And then you think, and you think that's what makes you valuable. You think that's what makes you different than everybody else. Maybe it's sports. You know, I love sports in high school. I'm not good at them anymore, but in high school I was okay. And man, I love to play football. I love to wear that letter jacket around, you know? And man, I thought that's what gave me value. Maybe your value derives in your ability to put your legs over the top of your head. I just found that picture, thought it was funny. Anyway. But here's my point, y'all. I want to talk about identity this morning, okay? Your identity can come from all kinds of sources, okay? And those are pretty broad things, okay? Hitting the popular crowd, academics, sports, legs over the top of your head. Maybe a little more specific. But y'all, I guarantee you, there are folks in this room that you find your identity, or part of it, part of your value in your ability to play a video game. Raise his hand, awesome. Man, and if you don't believe me, when you're playing that game, how do you respond when someone beats you? Do you not throw your controller on the ground and get ticked? Do you not? Are you not furious? Like, oh. Because you had defined yourself by the guy that's better at Halo than anybody else. Don't be proud of that. Don't be proud of that. You know? Y'all, for some of you gals, guys too, it's your physical appearance. It's your physical appearance. And you think that because you're prettier than someone else, that that makes you more valuable than they are. And so, man, if there's ever a moment when you're asked to be in front of people, when your hair is not perfect, when your makeup is not exactly how you want it, guys, I hope you're not wearing makeup. Man, that petrifies you, doesn't it? It petrifies you to think that you would have to go out in swimsuit season without your skin being the right tone yet. It scares you to death. You go, oh man, I define myself by my beauty. I define myself by my physical appearance. And so if there ever comes a moment when I am not what I think that I am, that scares us. Y'all, and I challenge you to kind of just do a little inventory and think through, man, what is that thing in my life? Maybe it's things, maybe it's multiple things. Maybe it's something that at some point somebody told you. You know, I know when I was in high school and in college, people always told me I was the funny guy. And whether I thought I was the funny guy or not, Dave, maybe you can identify with this too. Dave was the funny guy in high school. He was. He was. You know, Dave would be up front doing skits and stuff. And man, and there's nothing wrong with, man, having a sense of humor. Go be funny. But there was a season there when I thought that I had to be funny. And I would do whatever I had to do to be funny guy in front of people. And I wasn't comfortable with who I was. I didn't know who I was. And so even when I had some, maybe if I even had some thoughts that had a little bit of depth to them, maybe if I had an opinion that was not goofy and dumb, that wouldn't make people laugh, I wouldn't even say it. Because I was afraid that all of a sudden people would start to see me in a way that wasn't what I thought I was supposed to look like. You feel where I'm going with this? You guys feeling this? Okay, I want to real quick just hit 3 points, okay? 3 points. Hey, here you go. There's a picture of the girl with the legs over her head. That's for you. I want to turn over to Genesis chapter 1. If you've got your Bible, turn over to Genesis chapter 1. If you don't, the words are right here on this giant screen. Now, why would I turn over to Genesis? What happens in Genesis? You guys who know your Bible, what happens in Genesis? Creation, right? Why do you think, and maybe this is rhetorical, don't answer this, but think for a second. Why would I want to go and look at the creation story to understand who we really are? Answer, because that's where we begin, right? That's where God creates us. That's where God, in the beginning, speaks into us what our identity is supposed to be. Y'all, check this out. God designed you for a very specific purpose, okay? I don't take a letter opener off of my desk and try to drive that to work in the morning. Why? Because it's not a car, right? I'm looking at you. You don't drive letter openers to work, okay? You don't put your books into a letter opener. Why? Because that's not what letter openers do, right? What do letter openers do? They open letters. So what you're telling me is that from object to object, from thing to thing, there's a specific design for them, right? There's a specific purpose for them. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe you're trying to drive to work when you should be opening letters? You know what I mean by that? What? Have you ever stopped to think that you might have a specific purpose that God has put in you that you've never even touched, that you've never even seen, that you had no idea even existed? And so all your life you've been trying to do something that God never even designed you to do. It's kind of deep thought. Whoa. But think about it for a second. Okay? Let's look just for a second at this creation story, okay? This is at the end of the creation story. God's gone through, he's created the earth, he's created the waters, he's created the skies, the stars, the vegetation, the animals, the plants, all this stuff, right? And then here comes God's crowning moment. Us. This is what it says. It says, then God said, let us make humankind, us, in our image, after our likeness, so that they rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move on the earth. Listen to this, y'all. God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I'm going to show you guys something I made in college. Please don't make fun of it. It's just for a visual aid. Okay. Don't mock this, okay? I made this in college. I'm not an artist. I never claimed to be an artist. Some of you guys might find your identity in being an artist, but I never did, okay? When I was in college, I really felt specifically led to make this sculpture. I don't know why. It was random. It was out of the blue. I kind of think that it was only so that I could do this talk and give this analogy. That's my theory, but I don't really know. Anyway, okay, it's not a turkey. It's not Buddha, whoever said that earlier this morning. Okay, this is a dude on his face worshiping, okay? I know it's not very good. Okay, don't let's get past that. Okay, listen. Okay, listen to me. Okay, forget you guys, dude. Okay. No, it's cool. I'm confident in who I am. Okay, but okay, I made that sculpture, right? I was the one that set out to make that sculpture. I thought through it. I knew what I was doing when I did it. If any of you guys have ever, anybody here ever sculpted before? Art class or something like that? It's kind of cool, actually. I really kind of enjoy it. I've done it another time since, just in the last year. And I love the fact that when you sculpt, it's not just this like, bleh, done. It's each little piece, right? Each little detail. You know, you got your little metal stick thing. I don't know. I'm sure there's a term for it. You know, you're at that, and you're fine-tuning each little piece. Your fingerprints are all over this thing, right? And check this out. Go with me for a second. If I took this piece of art, we'll call it art. Just go with me. If I set this in an art gallery, okay, some whatever, art gallery, do you think it's fair to say that people would walk by and give opinions on this piece of art? Do you think that's probably true? They walk by and they go, that looks like a turkey. I have no idea what that is. This guy is clearly not talented. Fair. They may walk by and try to interpret that piece of art, right? These are artsy folks. Like, well, I think the way the hands are raised, it's representing the artist's anger and bitterness towards his childhood. And, you know, and the way this guy is kneeling down represents, you know, blah, 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 right? And they would go on and they would make their speculations on what they think this thing was created for. But who is the only person that has the authority to tell you and to define what this thing was created for? Who? Me, right? Why? Because I made it. You want to know what this was created for? Ask the creator. Ask me. I'll tell you why I made it. I'll tell you why this hit my heart, specifically during that month period of time when I made this thing. And my heart was melting for the Lord. You want to ask why this thing has value, and it may not have value to you. But man, I made this. This means something to me. When I look at it, I see hours of work. I see something the Lord prompted my heart to do, and I was faithful to do it. Y'all, when I see this, I see something completely different than anybody else does. And in the same way, people will look at you, and they will speculate about you. They will look at you and go, well, because her hair is long, because her hair is dark, maybe she's goth, maybe she's this or that. This guy, because he's tall, because he's good looking, because he's not good looking, because he's, and man, that must mean that blah, 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 blah. And they will make all kinds of speculations about you. And I know some of you guys have been hurt badly by the things that people have said about you. Have you not? And when people would look at you and say, this guy looks like a turkey. I don't know why they'd say that, but maybe they would. You're ugly. You're fat. You're dumb. And people would say those kind of things to you that hurt, don't they? But there's one person that has the authority to tell you who you really are. And that's God, because he created you. Does that make sense? Isn't that massive? Isn't that huge? Y'all, I'm telling you, there are folks in their 50s and 60s that are still to this day yearning to have someone tell them that they're valuable. And they're going out and they're trying to make as much money as they can. They're trying, you know, doing whatever they can to have someone tell them, man, you're good enough. But they have had people all through their life tell them that they're not good enough. So you know what? I'm going to prove these people wrong. And their whole life is this vendetta against people that have told them something that isn't true. And what they don't know is from the very beginning, God had a completely different purpose for them. And God had a completely different creation for them. And he knows who they are, but they've never gone and listened. They didn't know that God had created with them a specific purpose. You need to listen to your creator, y'all. The next thing, I'm just going to run through these real quick. You need to understand that talk is cheap. Listen to this. Here's what I mean by this. Okay, let's read through this just real quick. Okay, in this, this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus talking about the Pharisees. Okay, and he uses two specific cases. He talks about giving, talks about prayer. And I'm going to read through it. But here's what he says. Okay, basically he says, hey, if you're going to give just so people can see you, if you're going to be defined and find your identity and your ability to give and your ability to have money, if you're going to go pray and just stand out in the synagogue and pray out loud and poetically and repetitiously so people can see you, so that you can find your identity in being spiritual guy, which, man, that's a lot of us. It's hard not to be that sometimes. Here's what he says both times. He says, you need to know, I tell you the truth, they have their reward in full. What does he mean by that? What he means by that is if you think that when you're pretty and you're good at sports, that that makes you eternally valuable, you're really mistaken. And people are going to come and say, man, you're awesome, you're this, you're that. But I'll tell you what, man, when your sole goal in life is to receive those accolades from people, that praise from people, just to have somebody tell you that you're cool, that you're smart, that you're funny, have that girl that you like finally give you a hug, you're going, yes, now I'm finally valuable, check the box, all that stuff. Y'all, here's what God's saying. He's going, man, if that's what you want, there's your reward. She gave you the hug. Someone said you were good at sports. Congrats. You've got your reward. But y'all, I'm telling you, if you would grasp the idea that God has created you to be something completely different, that God has created you to be something that is eternally valuable, that is a part of God's plan, that is a part of his ministry, to seek and save the lost, y'all, to worship God eternally and to be a part of his family, to be called his child, his son, his daughter, you would start to see that, man, catching that football is really not that big of a deal. I didn't go play football. Go play football. I love football. But don't be defined by football. Don't be defined by your appearance. You see where I'm going with this? Last point. And y'all, because the reality is for me to come up here and say that I've sufficiently communicated to you what your identity is pretty ridiculous. And we could probably talk for a semester, bullet point by bullet point, about who God says that you are. But what I want you to understand today is that you are who you are because God created you. I want you guys to start thinking about, man, do I listen too much to what people say about me, positive or negative, and start to recognize that what should cause me to have value is, man, it's not here, but it's here. Finally, James chapter 1, and I'll close on this point. It says, for if someone merely listens to the message and does not live it out, he's like someone who gazes at his own face in a mirror, for he gazes at himself and then goes out and immediately forgets what sort of person he was. Here's the point. The context of this passage is talking about God's word. Okay? And that if we're the kind of people that we just look at this word and it starts to tell us who we are, it starts to tell us our identity, and then we just walk away and forget about it, that we're like this. We're like a dude who stands in the mirror. Let's say I wake up in the morning, hair's all, I don't really have much hair, but let's say I did. Hair's all over here, booger hanging out of my nose, got a big thing of dirt on my face. And I go and I stare in that mirror and I'm like, hey, my hair's messed up. Got a booger hanging out of my nose. A lot of dirt, left side of my face. All right, well, off we go. And then I just went into school or went out to work. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? The purpose of looking in the mirror is to go, hey, my hair looks dumb. Let me, booger, yeah, good. Dirt, face, gone. And then I walk out, right? And so what it's saying is that this book, God's word, is that source. It's that mirror. If you want to know who you are, you got to look to the source. You got to start looking in here and go, man, who am I really? All these people tell me I'm this, but am I? Is there more to me than that? And start looking in here. And then when that starts to happen and you start looking in this book and maybe you start to see that, man, there are things about you that make you have no idea. And maybe you start to see that you got some boogers on your face that you need to wipe off. But man, that we would be wise and start to look in this book, knowing that it's from the Creator that has the only authority to tell us who we are, and we would start to act on it. Does that make sense? So what I've really done this morning is just set you guys on a path to start thinking this way, to start viewing your Bible in a different way, to go, man, I want to know who I am. I want to know what gives me value. You'll find it in God's Word. Let me pray for us. Father, you're awesome. Father, I wish we could grasp for just 1 second how huge your plan for us is. Father, I wish we could grasp for 1 second that you've created us to worship you, that you have created us and made us to be your followers. Father, forgive us where we follow things that have nothing to do with you, and we yearn to be defined by things that have nothing to do with you. Father, I pray that you would stir hearts in this room this morning, that they would start to see that you created them, and therefore you have the authority to tell them who they really are. Father, I pray this morning that we could grasp that you're crazy about us, and that what people say about us isn't true. Father, you think we're awesome. And not only that, you don't just leave it there, but you've told us all throughout your scripture what it looks like to live a life that follows your identity. Father, would you help us to be wise to dig in it? Father, we love you. We praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Y'all stack your chairs. Don't forget about the pie.